We're going to start today with the living without attachment training. So many people are creating interference in their life by attaching their emotions to outcomes they have no evidence of, no control of, or even evidence that's contrary to where they want to be. And I'm going to teach about the wisdom and the faith that's necessary in order to detach and to live without attachments. It doesn't mean that you're not in the pursuit. Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins are released when you're in the pursuit. It's not when you reach an outcome. It's a complete misnomer that people deal with all the time. And so save your questions. If you'd like an exercise, a guide on this, we have all of our coaching programs are free with this, Living Without Attachment. If you haven't joined our private networking group, and are a person who wants to help people and know people that can help people, email me for the guide from today, Living Without Attachment, david@dmeltzer.com. Get your questions ready, and here we go. All right. I've learned that some of the most meaningful successes in life, they don't come by chasing or pursuing the outcome, but focusing in on serving others and living in simplicity. Simplicity is a codification, an illustration that you have a greater awareness. The simple things to do are the most powerful things to do, but unfortunately, the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do, like saying thank you. I remember a time when I shifted my mindset, shifted a paradigm from striving every day for more, and simply so I could give more, and it led to opportunities and fulfillment in the respect of only pursuing, not attaching. And that experience reinforced to me the power of detaching from these outcomes where I would always include the word when. I will be happy when. I will be rich when. I will be successful when. I will be when. In today's world, where there's constantly circumstances that are bombarding us with messages of more and better, it's easy to lose sight of what truly fulfills us, what creates this infinite loop, the infinite abundant loop of more than enough of everything, a system abundant of more than enough, unified in intention by what we do say, think, feel, and believe in the believe in the pursuit of what we think we want. And it is that simplicity and humility and the ability to detach from outcomes but still be ferocious. This is where I came up with the ferocious Buddha in the respect of being Buddhist in its outcomes, because human beings don't understand or know the evidence that they see and the impact of that evidence. That's why it's not just the wisdom to unlock extraordinary success and fulfillment, but faith. You need faith of a universe, an infinite system of more than enough of everything for everyone that loves you, protects you, promotes you, and perfects you more than your mom in life and business. And so let's explore how shifting the paradigm and perspective can lead to greater impact and intentional success by actually detaching. Chasing material or monetarial success can only lead to dissatisfaction if you attach your emotions to what you don't know, understand, or can control, outcomes. Focusing on the purpose, the why, over the possessions, focusing on the mission more than the commissions will create this meaningful success. And so in order to do so, we want to change the meaning of our past. We want to change the meaning of the failures, the setbacks, the mistakes, in order to facilitate alignment with the activities of today, with where you want to be or better in the future, in a trajectory, in a divine direction, not in an attachment. And when we learn how we can utilize our intention in that unified, abundant system of intention to shift our focus to meaning, not outcomes, we will elevate and escalate the purpose of what we're doing. And we all know the equation that if our purpose is greater than our pain, we will never quit, because it won't be the mistakes, because we can give different meanings to the mistakes, but it will be a lack of intention, a lack of definite purpose that will determine how fast and how big and who will be a part of this collective success, fulfillment, passion, purpose, and profitability. I mentioned the simplicity of the illustration. The simpler it is, the more aware we are of how to get to where we want to be or better. This is a power of simplicity under the guise that the simple things to do are simple not to do because of human nature. If we can simplify, we are clarifying and focusing our attention into the intention. It is the confirmation of the equation, the mathematical equation of luck. When we know simply what we're paying attention to with a definite purpose and what we're giving our intention to, what we do, say, think, feel, and believe, it now simplifies our trajectory. It creates a divine direction of where we think we want to be or better. Notice the humility intertwined in where we think we want to be or better and the lessening of the ignorant arrogance that's created by fear. Either fear of people judging us, competing with us, attacking us, or the fear of people loving us too much, which creates the advice, counsel, and judgment of people who love us too much because they're more afraid for us than they are for than we are for ourselves. And now with this simplicity and the power of simplicity, we can clear the trajectory and create a divine direction of where we want to be or better without attaching with arrogance an outcome that we couldn't know, understand. Because if we think we know, understand the outcome that we want clearly, instead of living in this humility of this is what I think I want according to the meaning of the past, the circumstances of the day, and my self-image, then I will have less interference, less resistance to getting to where I want to be or better. Because when there is no evidence I'm going to get to where I want to be or better, or the evidence that appears is contrary to where I want to be or better, I now have the faith that is protecting, promoting, love, and perfecting me, and I get there faster. So business owners need to streamline their operations into a clear attention and intention in order to increase the efficiency, the effectiveness, and the statistical success within the team, the business, the organization. Simplicity fosters trust. It fosters communication. And it allows leadership to have an exponential impact. So much is lost when we do not elevate our own awareness to the simplicity and the importance of simplicity within the context of detaching from these outcomes. It is so easy to, if we don't understand, know, see evidence, or evidence is contrary to where we think we want to be or better, it's so easy to attach to a hope, a dream, and think that we're living in optimism and positive thinking when we're actually creating resistance to what we want, because we put an attachment of understanding and knowing what we want instead of utilizing humility and clarity and simplicity in order to effectuate a better pursuit of what we think we want by focusing our attention and intention on the meaning of the past and not limiting our self-image or our imagination. The minute we put an attachment on an outcome, we will put a meaning that's aligned to what we don't know or understand, and we will limit our self-image. And so let's start by identifying one area that we can detach. Now, a lot of people in the counterintuitive nature of detachment, of living without attachment, immediately go to a point of lack of pursuit. They believe that you have to attach to an outcome in order to facilitate pursuit or a ferocious, consistent, persistent behavior. That is exactly the opposite of what occurs. We want to pursue by not limiting ourselves, and the only two ways that we limit ourselves is limiting the meaning of the mistakes, setbacks, failures of our past, successes, defining moments, historical relevances. And now I'm going to add a new one I've never talked before that completely contributes to the meaning of the past, your social silo. Think about how much you limit yourself because of the meaning that you give your social silo, the information you're being fed by Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, CNN, Fox, whatever you're siloing into is facilitating a meaning of the past that will limit you into a trajectory and limit and create resistance to the pursuit of your potential, and will also dictate where you attach your emotions, mostly to an outcome that you don't know, understand, or evidence is not there or contrary to where you want to be or better. And so leading with detachment, although it's counterintuitive and allows us to be free and utilize our free will to pursue where we think we want to be or better each day, allows us to detach from these outcomes and create space. Space is what links the music, not the notes, and allows us to flow, and it allows us to grow. And so we need to let go of the attachment, and by identifying those to result in creativity and persistency, which is resilience. Humility in leadership, by being an intelligent follower, by understanding a formula that we are not going to limit ourselves by the mistakes, setbacks, failures, the defining moments, the historical relevances, and your social silos. And we are not going to allow that to limit our own self-image by trying to be what we want other people to think we are instead of what I am, and figuring out what I'm doing to interfere with it. This allows leaders to focus on the process, the pursuit, and the service and the value while inspiring the collective, while inspiring the team, league, organization, or family that you play on, determined upon the team and the position that you hold and that you want to hold or become. And so we need to actually lead with detachment, understanding the relationship of the past, the present, and the future, that it is the past that limits us by the meaning we give it, the utilization of the 24 hours of the present that will facilitate how productive, how accessible, and how gracious we are in the what? Enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential, not of some outcome. We only live in trajectories. We only live in direction. And what we want to do is make sure that trajectory and that direction is divine, infinite, and part of the unified, abundant, infinite system of more than enough of everything for everyone of intention, and not limit our self-image or our imagination of where and what we can become. The minute you put an exact outcome as an attachment, you're limiting yourself. The next thing that we want to do is apply our why to business and life. And we want to apply this why, this inspiration, utilizing intelligence and intuition in order to facilitate the reconciliation of the 24 hours a day that we're given and the relationship to circumstances within the 24 hours a day that you're given, as well as the divine, the infinite time. And understanding that everything that we do, say, think, feel, and believe, which is my definition of intention, and utilizing and understanding that we're part of a unified, abundant, infinite system of intention of more than enough of everything for everyone, understanding that, we have to understand our relationship each day with circumstances in order to apply our why. Because the circumstances of each day are unknown. If they were known, I would know how to help you and I make billions of dollars. I'd give mine to charity. You could do with what you want with your $1 billion. But as far as it goes, nobody can tell me the circumstances of tomorrow with any certainty. There's only two certainties that I know. One, all that exists inside of me is part of the infinite, abundant, unified system of intention. And two, the only certainty that exists outside of me is 24 hours. I am certain that I'm guaranteed 24 hours like every other human utilizing the human experience, except for the last day of my life, I will be cheated seconds, minutes, or hours. Otherwise, there's no certainty in circumstances of tomorrow, except for the 24 hours. So therefore, I have to understand my relationship to time in those circumstances. You see, in the idea of leading with attachment, in the idea of living without attachment and living and leading with detachment, so we're trying to live with attachment, in that idea, we have to understand the relativity of circumstance, because the relativity of circumstance in the context of 24 hours deals with two different relationships that we have. One, the infinite mind. Two, the 24-hour brain. Because the second relationship that is equated with the mind to the brain is time to the clock. And what I mean by that is that if I told everybody that on Friday of the Super Bowl that they're going to be launching at 120 Ike's Love and Sandwiches, the more than enough sandwich, the first no po' boy ever created in New Orleans, the Meltzer more than enough sandwich, and we're all going to meet there at 1 o'clock. And this is true, by the way. We're all going to meet there at 1 o'clock on Friday. And we're going to do a big meetup in celebration of the more than enough Meltzer sandwich, the no po' boy, at 1 o'clock in New Orleans, in the quarter, at Ike's Love and Sandwiches at 1 o'clock. And if everybody's on time, we'll be there at the same time. But if I told you to stop by when you're hungry, who knows when you'll be there? The only certainties that exist are within ourselves and time. It's the mind to the brain, the time to the clock that applies the why to the present according to the circumstances of the day. Now, non-negotiable behavior in the application of the detachment, living without attachment, the application of why to business and life is determinative upon, one, the prioritization of the activities that you are committed to do every single day, regardless of circumstance. I call these non-negotiables. And what are your non-negotiables? What are you committed to? And then applying time will bring it into the present and align the meaning of the past, which are already inherently evaluated in the non-negotiable behavior. And so when I say I spend a minimum of 7 hours a day, regardless of the circumstances, sleeping at the highest level to recover and access information to utilize the next day. And when I tell you I spend a minimum of an hour on my health, and a minimum amount of time with my family, a minimum of time on my faith, a minimum of time on my finance, a minimum amount of time studying time, a minimum amount of time studying relativity. And if I told you that equals about 3.5 hours plus the 7 hours of sleep, which would leave me what? 13 and a half hours to apply my why with variant behavior that is circumstantial in its nature. And if it's circumstantial in its nature, then I have to apply the meaning of the past according to the circumstances, and expand my self-image towards where I think I want to be or better according to the circumstances, which means I have to, in order to apply this detachment, apply living without attachment, I would need then to prioritize each and every 13 and a half hours every single day according to the circumstances of the day, aligning the meaning of the past into my divine direction of the mind, not the brain, of the time, not the clock. And when we learn the application of understanding the purpose-driven, definite purpose of what we are doing, the intentionality, that business especially is focused on service and value can only be derived by giving people what they want or taking away what they don't want. It has nothing to do with profit. Profit is only an outcome that occurs from your capability of articulating a value of what people like or don't like to exceed what you're asking for. At the right time, with the right emotion, you will be successful. So if you're capable of articulating a quantitative value, of giving people more of what they like or taking what they don't like, at the right time, in the right emotion, you will have complete success, utilizing credibility, emotional attachment, and being able to utilize the capabilities you have as an arsenal of value to understand the impact that it's going to have on somebody, but also reminding you as you are living without attachment that time, emotion, and value will change every time you make a decision. That's why we have to divide our activities in the man-made construct of time every day by having 13 and a half hours of non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior, because it's behavior that determines where you're going to be or better. And it also determines what's interfering with it. Good behavior is always aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad behavior interferes with it. And it is circumstantial. There are some things that you want to value over any circumstances, like your sleep, your health, your family, your finance, your faith, your time, and your relativity. And then there's other things that you don't. 90% of your progress will be created by the non-negotiable, non-circumstantial activities each and every day. Even though it's only 13 and a half hours, even though it's only 10 and a half hours, seven and of those hours minimum is sleeping. So it's really only 3.5 hours of your day, where it's 13 and a half hours of activities that have less impact, less exponentiality, and are variant to the circumstances, but allow you to enjoy the non-negotiables, right? Because happiness is derived by enjoying having the variant behaviors of the 13 and a half awake time hours of doing what you want to do according to the circumstances of the day to align the meaning of the past in the divine direction of where you want to be or better. It is those 13 and a half hours a day that allow you to enjoy. What does it allow you to enjoy? Everything, including the non-negotiables, which are counterintuitive, counterhuman nature, and they're not enjoyable usually. And it's the secret sauce, the ease, the cheat codes of life that comes from enjoying what you don't like or don't love, or other people don't like or don't love, in a consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of your truth, your potential, not what other people want, not what's missing, and not what you don't have. And so as we apply our why to business and life, understanding we want to live without attachment, but we want to have our purpose in it being definite, to enjoy it every day in a consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. And this is all rooted in humility. Humility. Remember, you're either humble or you're about to be. And understanding how we can live without attachment will allow us to live in that humility. Now, in order to do so, we have to learn how to prioritize if we're going to live without attachment. Because the minute we don't know what to do, one of the inevitable behaviors that occurs when we attach to an outcome and we don't see the evidence, any evidence of that outcome, or the evidence that we see of that outcome, it creates more resistance. We know that it's wisdom and faith that shortens the distance of resistance. And we know there's an antidote to us procrastinating when there's resistance, or feeling overwhelmed when there's no evidence, or the evidence we see each day, the outcomes that we see each day, are not showing us that we're making progress towards the attachment that we would have to an outcome. When we look at the power of prioritization, understanding initially we have to prioritize enough that we can have non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior every single day that will provide us 90% of the divine direction, inspiration, and why to get us to where we want to be or better, to protect us, promote us, love us, and perfect us, to allow us not only to give more, but to be given more, to receive more, and be confident in asking for more than more, to give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, ask for more than more than more, instead of living in the zero-sum game of attaching our emotions to outcomes and being disappointed and creating resistance. And when we understand that not only must we prioritize the non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior like sleep, health, family, finance, faith, and time and relativity, but we also have to prioritize the circumstances of the day according to where and what we think we want, who we can help and who can help us, how we can utilize the guarantee, God's guarantee, 24 hours every day of your human experience, except for the last day, how we can utilize that in productivity, accessibility, and gratitude in the divine direction to create acceleration, aggregation, and compound the impact and effect in the outcomes that we don't know or understand, or the outcomes that don't show any evidence that we understand or know to prove we're going to get to where we want to be or better, or outcomes that are contrary to where we want to be or better. Understanding that prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. Prioritization gives us that clarity and focus that we want in order to be intentional. It is the wisdom of the resistance and faith to create the simplicity so that we don't overemphasize our desires by chasing monetary and material success, chasing the commissions and forgetting about the mission. If you pursue your mission, which changes every single day for the better, regardless of the evidence as it appears, the circumstances that are uncertain, and if you chase the material or monetization, you're going to create resistance. You have to understand you prioritize what's important to you, who you can help, who can help you, and how to get that done in order to facilitate acceleration, aggregation, and compounding. It will give you the power of simplicity. It'll allow you to lead with detachment. It'll allow you to apply your why to business and life. Detachment from excessive desires of monetization and materialization. When you are focused in on a definite purpose, a mission, the commissions will follow. It's not about giving up ambition. Try to keep up with me. It's not about, we all have the same amount of energy. What are you doing to interfere with it? It's about aligning the meaning of the past and not limiting your self-image by aligning with the purpose and the harmony of living with intention. Because we all live in an infinite, abundant, unified system of intention. True fulfillment, success, passion, purpose, and profitability isn't about what we accumulate or even achieve. It's about who we become. It is about I am and the impact that we have and the empowering that we have on others. My mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy, to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun is to empower others to do that by embracing the simplicity and practicing humility and detaching from the monetization and the materialization of outcomes when evidence is not apparent or is contrary to where we think we want to be. We create space for the infinite by utilizing and focusing in and on the intention of where we want to be or better with harmony and fulfillment and ease. Because if we enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit of what we don't like, don't love, other people don't like or love in the pursuit of our potential, life will tell us all its secrets, its cheat codes. It'll be easy to identify the dis-easy. The greatest reward often comes when we let go of the need to understand and know that which we can't understand and know. Instead, we need to focus in on serving, growing, and being present with the 24-hour God's guarantee by knowing the certainty inside of us and the certainty of time outside of us. And we can know what we want or better. With wisdom and faith, shortening the distance of resistance, giving us ease and peace and purpose and joy to cultivate along the way. The most misunderstood concept, I believe, is detachment. People think that the idea of detachment is void of pursuit. Pursuit is what causes dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins to be released. It's the doggy biscuit of God in God's guarantee. He's telling you, hey, here's some dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphin. This will make you feel good. That means these are good behaviors. And guess what? Cortisol is released when you have behaviors that are interfering with your potential, your God, your infinite, abundant, unified system of more than enough of everything, of everyone in that intention. If anybody would like the exercise and guide of how to live without attachment or my book, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I will send you the guide and exercise from today and my book if you'd like it, david@dmeltzer.com. Now it's my favorite time. Enough of listening to me. Let's allow me to listening for what you want to really know. Nick of Guam, you got to reset the room.
Thank you so much, David, for the incredible training today of living without attachment. And as a reminder for everybody to get the guide from today's training alongside David's book, all you got to do is email us directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And now as we open it up for Q&A, if you're joining us online, please make sure to put the questions in the chat. And if you're live here on Clubhouse in the audience, please use the hand icon to request to join the stage. Or of course, if you're already on stage, just put a quick note in the room chat and I will be happy to pass along the mic your way. Now, with that said, David, I would suggest we go ahead and get started with the first question live here on Clubhouse, as we have Chef Ron, who is patiently waiting. So, Chef Ron, it's great to see you here, my friend. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Friday. Nice to hear from you, Nick. Hey, Coach, how are you, bud?
Fantastic would be an understatement, my friend. And
I know.
Thank you for being such a big part of our community and encouraging people. We have so many people joining the private networking group with one-on-one access to me. I know you've been a huge leader in the networking community. So thank you.
Absolutely. Of course. So it's funny. I was thinking about this morning at the lake, every morning when I text you from there, kind of what you're talking about. And now that I have this project, you know, with Nurture, with Kevin and other people that are helping us, and, you know, I still have the franchise going and groceries for grandparents, I'm getting a little, I find myself getting mixed up with what my why is, because I have so many different things that I focus on. Usually my day was focused on the two, you know, the business and the nonprofit, but to me, the top priority right now is Nurture, and I shared with you last time that I'm trying to phase out Chefs for Seniors. When you get that frustration level, Coach, where I do my journal and I'm doing my schedule, but you know, yesterday I found myself sat down in front of the computer to do my office work, and I got so frustrated where it was like, okay. I had to shut the phone off because of, you know, phone call coming in and things like that. But I had to get up and just go take a walk. And so prioritizing and finding my why of all of these are important to me. How do you focus on, you know, I don't have nowhere near as much activity as you have. And so it started to concern me that, you know, I'm having more activity and I want to find how to prioritize it, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not what I say, it's what people hear. And it's why I have to be so damn annoying to my kids, my clients, my employees. And that's because you have to be repetitive and honest. And so, thank you for asking the question, because there's no way people can understand, even after the 10th time, the idea and importance of prioritization. So the first way that we prioritize is by negotiable and non-negotiable behaviors. Negotiable behaviors are circumstantial. They change every day. Non-negotiable behaviors are the ultimate prioritization, which allows us to have 90% of our positive outcomes that are protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by the system. So if you prioritize first your non-negotiables, assigning time, saying no matter what happens today, I'm going to sleep this much. I'm going to spend this much time with my family. I'm going to spend this much time with my faith. I'm going to spend this much time on my finance, this much time on my time, and this much time on my relativity, minimum amount of time every single day, regardless of the weather, the fires, the flat tires, the planes, the trains, the automobiles, the interest rates, the frustration. That even though that only usually equals, including sleep, you know, anywhere between 10 and 11 hours, that's the ultimate outcome of prioritization. Now, on the other side, you know, I have to work with you and develop the understanding of how do we prioritize the circumstances of the day and the meaning of the past and the limitations I put on myself with my own self-image and imagination. That's a much longer discussion. But I want everyone just to start, and people who understand how important it is to prioritize their day non-circumstantially find it quite easy then to understand how circumstances are relative to the meaning of the past and your reaction to fear, which is that frustration, guilt, resentment, anger, the separation that you feel. But also it assists us in understanding, utilizing our what, our who, and our why in order to prioritize the 24-hour God's guarantee you're given every day of non-negotiable variant behavior. But I think, Ron, we've been working together long enough that you really need to, you know, walk the walk and know your non-negotiable behaviors and prioritize that. And then use the 5 daily practices, which I will resend to you and everybody in here, because in order to prioritize, you need to know, what do I want today according to the circumstances of the day? What meaning of the past is aligned with where I want to be or better according to the circumstances of the day? And where am I limiting my self-image and my imagination? Then determine who you can help and who can help you. And you have a energetic and a genetic inheritance to want to just help other people. Yeah. Your businesses are involved around it, and you forget about what do you want and who can help you, and you're not prioritizing non-negotiables and negotiable behavior by taking care of you. You're just giving more and receiving less, and you're going to end up at zero. You need to give more. You need to elevate your awareness to all that you're given. You need to receive more, and then you got to ask for more than more so you can give more than more. It's the people like you that frustrate the shit out of me, because you're the nicest, kindest, generous human being I know, and you're so far living in attachment to giving others instead of taking care of yourself with behaviors so you can take care of others even more. Does that sound fair?
It does. And it feels like we've had this conversation many times.
So, yeah, because I'm an annoying coach. I'm repetitive and honest. And so I'm an annoying dad, too. So I told my kids a million times to get their shoes off my steps. But that's okay. I'll keep being annoying because I know that's what works. And if anybody wants me to be annoying to them, join our private networking group. You get one-on-one access to the annoying David Meltzer. I will be annoying every day. You can access me and my annoying self. I will be repetitive and honest, but I will get you to where you want to be or better. You can ask Ron. He's come a long way, even though I'm annoying. Is that fair to say, Ron?
It sure is. I love you, Coach. Thank you so much.
I love you, too. Thanks for having fun with me. God. All right, cool. Marissa pops in. I can see her. My daughter Marissa's here. She's like, I still leave my stuff on the stairs, and my dad's annoying. I got it. Thank you, Marissa. Okay, who's up next? Nick of Womness.
Absolutely. Speaking of more than enough Meltzer, we have Eric Meltzer, who is patiently waiting. So, Eric, it's great to see you, my friend. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Hey, thank you so much, Nick. Hey, morning. So I just have an observation that happened to me many years ago. It was when I was working in a really difficult job in TV news, and I was a cameraman, pretty much covering murder and crime every day in really dangerous areas. And I basically was trying to get out of that really difficult job as quickly as I could, and it really. Things didn't change until I basically told the universe, I'm just going to let it go. And whatever you have, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop pursuing and just give it to the universe. And there's an adage in the meditation I do. It's gain naturally without pursuit. And it's something that I've really lived time and time again. So I totally get what you're saying today.
I love it. Well, we appreciate that. And just know, and I read and study for this reason, that we never really know all the layers in utilizing repetitive intention will elevate those lessons. And if it resonates with you, meaning you agree with it, or if it resonates with you, meaning you disagree with it strongly, then continue to pay attention and give intention to elevate the layers. They talk about the layers of the onion. It's really the layers of awareness. And the more that we are aware of, especially with the things that we resonate with, of intuition telling us, hey, you should be aware of this. This is important to you, whether you strongly agree or disagree. It's going to be important to you in infinite time, not exact time, but infinite time. We can all accelerate and grow together. Mr. Meltzer, that's not related to me, or I think he's not related to me. Thank you so much for joining us and appreciate your commentary. Who's up next? And people, please put your questions in as well. I got online, over 100,000 people registered. We got Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, StreamYard, Clubhouse. There's so many people here. We'd love to have you. A big shout out to Leon Rosenberg, who was so gracious to me in New Jersey with the launch when we were at the Napoleon Hill Institute. Please, we are always looking for people around the world. We're, as chairman of the Napoleon Institute, I need more people like Leon Rosenberg. You know what? He's just asking for the guide at his email. So make sure he gets the exercises and guides from today. But big shout out to him. Go ahead, Nick. Sorry, I'm distracted.
You are all good, my friend. And I'm actually going to go ahead and take a question online I have here for you. And the question is, how do you distinguish between healthy connections and harmful attachments?
Yeah, so that's easy. Healthy connections are the connection you have to the behaviors that are pursuing or aligned with not only the meaning of the past, but the ones aligned with your divine directions, but also that allow the detours to be divine as well. The ones that we don't want are interfering with it, right? We don't want to attach to behaviors that are interfering with our potential, or we don't want to attach to outcomes that we don't know, understand, judge, or commit to when we don't have that capability in human experience to know or understand the future. Therefore, all the outcomes that we desire and the ones that we see, the evidence that we see, whether it's not available, or if it's contrary to what we think, have no relevance. And so the good attachments are the attachments to the behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be or better, that we are able to give a meaning to supplement, synergize, accelerate, aggregate, and compound where we want to be or better. And the behaviors and the outcomes that are interfering with creating resistance are the ones that we want to shorten. And we do that with wisdom. Wisdom is created by asking for help in all different platforms, in person, on the phone, via email, and media, traditional and social. And then also strengthening our faith, applying our why, that there's an infinite, abundant, unified system of intention, something bigger than us that loves us, protects us, promotes us, perfects us more than our mom. And so healthy attachment is attachment to behaviors. Attachment to the consistent, persistent enjoyment of the pursuit of our potential, of what we want, not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have, not what you want other people to think and think of you. But we want to use that wisdom and faith to shorten the distance of resistance that we create and create behaviors that are pursuing the ease, the cheat codes, and identifying the dis-ease. That's why we wake up and we say, I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And I'm not going to attach to what I'm doing to interfere with it, which includes attaching my emotions to an outcome that I don't know or understand, because the circumstances of tomorrow and every tomorrow is uncertain. The only certainties that exist is I look within for the good behaviors that align with where I think I want to be or better, that allows me to give meaning to the past to align with where I want to be or better, and expand my self-image and my imagination to where I want to be or better. And so when we simply understand good and bad is self, that your good behavior may be my bad behavior, and my bad behavior may be your good behavior, determined on where I want to be or better. Not where you want me to be or better, or what's missing or what I don't have, or what I want other people to think. We want to shorten that distance and identify each day through negotiable and non-negotiable behaviors. But it's the behaviors, the good behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be or where we think we want to be or better, which is the ones we want to attach to, not things that are going to create resistance or interfere with where we want to be or better. And so when we can make this distinction, we can accelerate, aggregate, compound the outcomes with wisdom from in person, on the phone, via email and social media, traditional media, and faith that there is an infinite, abundant, unified system of more than enough of everything for everyone that's unified with intention. That's what's going to get to you to where you want to be or better, and fulfill you with a mission and allow the commissions to follow. In other words, to provide you joy, happiness, fulfillment, passion, purpose, and profitability. that allows us to be happy and provides us more options, opportunities, and touches of favor to be happy. Whoo, that's a mouthful. You can get the replays as well. Somebody was asking again about Ike's Deli on here, by the way, Nick. So I'm going to just give a big shout out to Ike's Love and Sandwiches on Friday at the Super Bowl, 1 p.m. We're going to have the Super Bowl's biggest meetup. We are launching the More Than Enough Meltzer Sandwich. It's the first category of no po' boy sandwiches. I don't like po' boys. I like no po' boys. I like abundance. I like more than enough of everything for everyone. So join me with the no po' boy, more than enough sandwich, the Meltzer's more than enough sandwich, and we all have a huge meetup. I'll be answering questions, giving away books, taking pictures. Celebrities, athletes, entertainers, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs will be joining me at 1 o'clock in the quarter at Ike's Love and Sandwiches, 1 o'clock on Friday at the Super Bowl. I just got to shout it out. I've been honored with some really great things in my life. Variety Magazine, Sports Humanitarian of the Year, Ellis Island Medal of Honor. But I'm telling you, the chairman of Napoleon Hill, the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement, chairman of Unstoppable Foundation, great honors. But let's be honest, nothing is a greater honor than having a sandwich named after you, especially an abundant sandwich, a no po' boy sandwich, a more than enough Meltzer sandwich. But not Eric Meltzer, that's David Meltzer. Don't take away this honor. Awesome. Go ahead, Nick. There's questions online, or we can take one there with you.
Yeah, let's go ahead and keep it live here on Clubhouse. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Brent for the next question.
Well, thank you, Nick of Guam. Thank you, David. Lots of love. Quick testimonial for you, David. Being more interested than interesting, right? So, you know, been on this journey, pushing on a couple years with you. And, you know, you go to these networking events and you got in your head this soft pitch and, you know, how am I going to make a good impression and all that crap. Was at a networking event last week. My goal was to not talk about myself at all. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see what happens here. And it was like the best event ever. I was just interested in people. I got like a ton of like, you know, contacts and things. And it's all because of, you know, just understanding that there's just more and like giving more and just understanding is so much cooler. So thank you for that. I really appreciate the insight on the interested versus interesting. It works and it pretty much will always work. But anyway, so there's my little testimonial. Thank you, Dave. But my question is, the last week, there's been this this theme of like fear is going to hold you back, this theme of being cast out from the community, this theme of not standing out and not getting what you want. And like, I don't know why that's happening. But like, then I started realizing that I'm doing a couple things safe and I don't need to because I know what I got and I know that my company can expand. So how do you bust through that particular barrier of just like, you know, not giving a crap what people think and just, you know, just going through the, you know, the day to day with your mission and, you know, not thinking about the commission as you just stated in the lesson. So that's my question. How do you really go about that?
Well, whenever we want to get better at something, what other people think will always be present. So starting with the reality that what other people think will always be present. And so understanding that we are going to practice understanding the impact of what other people think. Now, I try to practice what other people think is none of my business, but that's really not true. What other people think of me is none of my business. But what other people think is absolutely my business. That's where more interested than interesting comes. And so for me, I want to utilize my intention, my attention. I also want to utilize my intelligence, my intuition, and my inspiration in order to facilitate that interest. So one, what people think of me is none of my business because they don't know me, because I am. And I'm just trying to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And people have snapshots of me. People misinterpret and misunderstand me. So what other people think of me is none of my business. But what people think is my business. And I utilize a more interested than interesting approach. And so one, I use my intelligence to try to understand what other people think. Not about me, but about what they think about business, life, philosophy, theory, religion, politics. What do you think? Not about me, but what do you think about those things? And then I use my intelligence. And then after I use my intelligence to evaluate what they think, according to the meaning of my past and where I want to be or better, I then use my intuition to see, do I strongly agree that I want to make sure I pay attention and give intention to it? Or do I strongly disagree? And then I absolutely want to pay attention and give intention to it. And then through intuition, I can apply my why, my purpose, my definite purpose, my why, my understanding of an infinite, unified, abundant system of thought, and prioritize according to my why in understanding the clues and the patterns of my intelligence and my intuition. So number one, I say to myself, is this what people think of me? None of my business. But what do they think of the issue? And then how do I, in the understanding of that issue, resonate with it? Strongly agree, don't care, or strongly disagree. And if I strongly agree or disagree, my intuition is telling me to be aware, be more interested than interesting in that matter, and then use and apply your why to prioritize that issue, that understanding, in order to effectuate giving a new meaning to my divine direction with my divine circumstances in the divine time. So understanding that is a great practice. And remember, you know, someone asked, Leon here had asked, you know, what's an example of good behavior being mine and bad behavior being yours according to where I want to be or better? You know, a real simple one is I used to think that waking up early was a good behavior. And I base that off of normal people at a 9-to-5 job, right? And now today, understanding that my good behavior, you know, waking up at 4 a.m., having an unwinding routine, it's not applicable to some people. That might be really bad behavior according to your values and your divine direction. That might be horrible behavior to wake up at 4 a.m. And it's good behavior for me according to what I want or better, but it may be the worst interfering behavior for you determined upon what you want or be or better. And so as a coach, being able to facilitate understanding behaviors aligned with where you want to be or get better and the meaning of your past. So that's awesome. All right. Next, Nick of Wam. There's 4 minutes left. I got time for one more. People are asking for the guide, by the way, the exercises, the book, how to meet up with us. So just david@dmeltzer.com. It should be on the screen. We'll keep repeating it. And I want to comment, you know, the no name person thinks that we have a crypto scam vibe. Well, if that's the vibe you're getting, please leave and protect us from people like you. So that's not the vibe of our neighborhood. So I don't know much about crypto. We're a neighborhood of people that want to help each other and help people that can help each other. But I want to elevate the awareness to people that resonate strongly here and agree with us. Stay. If you don't, please leave and go protect us from people like you. Everybody is not for everyone, but we want to recognize that too, Wamnis. All right, go ahead. Ask me your question, Ram.
Absolutely. So the question I'm taking from online is, how do attachments shape your sense of identity? And what happens when you start to question them?
Well, so if you're attaching to behaviors, your behaviors in the consistent non-negotiable behaviors are contributing to I am. And then the same, when you know who you are, it's easier to determine what's interfering with who you are. But in order to say I am, you have to have not only the wisdom of these practices, but you have to have faith that there's something bigger than you protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting you, regardless of your religion, philosophy, spirituality, or theories. It doesn't matter. All that can't be proved is faith. And all that is contrary to what we even think is faith, meaning what creates faith is when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to what we think, believe, feel, or do in alignment with where we think we want to be or better. And so within the context of I am, we have an identity of I am. Are you I am more than enough of everything for everyone in an infinite, abundant, unified system of intention? Or are you your certain behaviors? Are you what other people think? Are you what you're missing? Are you what you don't have? Are you what you want other people to think you are? For me, the highest vibrating truth is I am part and parcel of a unified, abundant, infinite system of intention that loves me, protects me, promotes me, perfects me more than my mom, regardless of what name you give it. But if you identify with your past, meaning your snapshots, meaning your limitation of your self-image, meaning your behaviors, meaning what you want other people to think, meaning what you don't have, meaning what other people want for you, meaning whatever it may be, meaning, then you're absolutely going to interfere. And so what we want to do is attach to I am in the divine direction that will make divine detours and allow for divine time to elevate the light, the love, and the lessons in all that you don't know or understand in the context of faith and wisdom and abundance. I'm going to leave you with I am. It's 7 a.m. Nick, I rambled. Go ahead, close out the clubhouse room.
I want to leave you with David's favorite quote, which of course is to be more interested than interesting. And be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you so much, everybody.